Welcome to Fundamentally Drained Podcast with your hosts, Father Everett Lees, Father Tom Dahlman, and Justin Dixon. Three Christians exploring Christianity from a perspective other than the fundamental view from which we have become fundamentally drained. We'll begin the conversation and you take it from there. Today we're going to talk about personal relationship with Jesus. Is that the correct way that you say that?
Yes, that is the correct way.
Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus?
I think I do.
Okay. What?
Yes, I do.
All right. What is it? What do you all understand it as?
Are you asking me as an Episcopal priest or as the Church of Christ kid?
Ooh. Let's start with number one. Then we'll go to door number two.
I don't know why I said that, because I think it's about the same thing. I think that the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, and so I grew up hearing that that's the goal, that we should know Jesus the way we know our friends and have him see the Word. And
everybody's seen that horrible, 1970s contemporary Christian song, Jesus is a Friend of Mine. Have you seen that when it gets around on Facebook?
Jesus is a Friend of Mine.
Oh, yes.
Sunseed.
That's it. Yes. Did you just say the band? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Sunseed.
They're on his permanent playlist.
Nice.
I only know that from the YouTube video.
I think the personal relationship with Jesus is sort of a shorthand question of, are you saved?
Yes.
That somehow that entered sort of the way that we talk about our faith. If you were saved, you had a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not really sure what an impersonal relationship with Jesus would look like.
Nice.
We're just acquaintances.
No warm emotions.
We only hung out a few times.
We worked together.
Hey, Jesus. You clocking in?
It's amazing how much our Jesus seems to think and act just like we do, though, isn't it?
Everyone take a sip of coffee. Okay, so the translation of that is then you're saved. Saved from eternal damnation. Is that the
yes?
Idea there? Okay. So do you laugh and talk and cry with Jesus, or is that the idea of a personal relationship with Jesus, something that you are so intimate with someone that they are, you know, you share those emotions with? I don't know that I could say that I do that. My computer's about to fry over here. I'm not sure what's going on there. Maybe we should change the subject. So is that how you see it? I mean, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that's how the average evangelical sees it. They would say, well, yeah, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I do talk to Jesus, and I invite Jesus with me to the movies and to...
to my dates.
To my dates, yes.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't invite him, then whatever you're doing, you shouldn't be doing.
Okay. All right.
So...
do you take long walks on the beach?
Yes, and there's footprints in the sand.
Whenever there was only one track, that's when he was
carrying me.
Yes. I've thought about that because I hear a lot of, I read, I guess, a lot of people who have this relationship and they know him like a friend and all these things, and they talk so intimate. And honestly, I go, huh? What am I doing wrong here? Because, you know, the occasional, like, good one, Jesus. You know, besides that, I don't feel, I mean, talking, yes. Laughing, probably sarcastic, like I just said. Crying, I don't really know what that means either. So I maybe it's just a misunderstanding.
Sorry, it's like where you, like, tears come out of your eyes.
Oh, that emotion, like, that I don't have.
As an American male growing up in the Bible Belt, it should only happen once every 10 years.
That's when your football team loses.
I was watching Confession Time. I'll put some stream music behind that. I was watching Good Will Hunting at home by myself the other night, and I am bawling my eyes. Oh my gosh.
This podcast is over.
Was part of
we had some traction, and then you're crying.
Robin Williams, dude. It's not your fault, Will. It's not your fault. What are you doing? Stop. Okay, sorry. So anyway, maybe Robin Williams is my...
he's your Jesus.
That's right. So, back on topic. What I mean, all I feel from that, reading those, is like I'm doing it wrong. That's what I got from it. So
if you don't cry, laugh with Jesus, then Jesus isn't really your friend. You don't have a personal relationship.
What's a personal relationship? Yeah. What do we define? I mean, or as you said, what's an impersonal relationship? So, where is it at in the Bible?
Well, I think that there's a sense in which spending time with Jesus, and whatever that means, whether that's in your prayer life, conscientiously reflecting on, you know, what would Jesus want us to do in our life? I mean, those kinds of questions are valuable questions. The relationship that I have with Jesus is different than the sort of relationship that I'm going to have with you all. And so to try, I think sometimes when we use that language, we're trying to humanize it. And there's a part of that, I mean, I guess, which is good. You could talk about Jesus being fully human or whatever. But it's just a reality that our relationship with Jesus is different than the sort of relationship and interactions that we would have with our earthly friends. That make sense?
Yep. Yep. Well, it's like, I mean, I see Jesus as the Savior, right? And through my life, through his life, sorry, I find meaning in mine. I would say that I can do that, not my savior part, but I can do that through you too, sitting and watching your lives and how you live and how you respond to situations. I can do the same. But when it gets into that personal relationship, you know, I don't go and have a beer and sit and talk with Jesus, right? So it's confusing.
You get strange looks at the bar if you do that.
It's confusing, right? I know. Maybe the guy on the corner, he's just talking with Jesus and people don't get it. Go ahead.
It's theologically kind of troubling in a few ways. And also, it's kind of, sorry. Well, mainly it's theologically troubling because I think the early church, first 500 years, you don't read like Augustine and hear him saying personal relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus, after the resurrection, is the glorified Lord. You know, he has come into his kingdom. And I didn't have a relationship with the king as a subject. Not that I'm pushing that. King far away, totally removed from us in the sky, because there's also the incarnation, there's the baby, you know, all of those things. But there is, the way it's talked about today doesn't take into account the whole picture.
Scott McKnight says that, like, up until the 1970s, the term personal relationship with God or personal relationship with Jesus was almost non-existent. Like you just did not find it in theological discourse or writing, and something in the 70s sort of launched that as something that then entered into our everyday use and kind of took over, particularly evangelical Christianity.
Do we know why? Did he explain? And which book was that? Or do you remember?
It's something he was writing on a blog post.
Oh, okay. So, I just sent you Jesus Creed from him the other day. I couldn't know him very well. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you definitely see a rise in the 1970s of evangelical Christianity in a very different way than you saw sort of evangelical Christianity in America in previous years. And
it's also kind of arrogant, if you think about it. It's American individualism run amok, like, I can have my, I can even have Jesus, you know?
Right.
It's the ultimate, I have the ultimate friend, the ultimate shopper mentality, like, taken too far. And that's, the idea of Jesus as Lord is something, it's kind of antithetical to that whole, Jesus is a friend of mine, you know?
And it'd be interesting to see if American Christianity is the place where you find the personal relationship with Jesus language the most. Would evangelicals in
Africa,
you know, in Kenya or Uganda, would they talk about the personal relationship with Jesus? And I mean, you look biblically, you know, the you know, God related to people through community, not through, yes, there were interactions with individuals, but God called, you know, communities into being. Does that make sense? And so we've sort of separate, you know, it allows us to separate ourselves out from the community, where all that matters is me, the individual.
Right. I think about where two or three are gathered. And if you look, one way to look at that is that it didn't say where one is gathered. Mind you, I'm not saying that the prayer is any different if you're, you know, talking with God in that sense, but where two or three are gathered, I am, you know, in the midst. Come on, quote it there. Yes, is that it? So the idea is like, look, harebrained ideas don't fly here. We don't want your, you know, I am the, you know, this is where I came from and Jesus told me. I was like, well, let's take that idea to a couple of other people and talk about it. And through this, you know, communal discussion, then what comes out of that? And that's kind of how, you know, I interpret that is where, you know, you all are together. I am within each of you. Then what comes out of that is, you know, I'm just there. I'm going to bless it, maybe something to that effect. As opposed to, you know, wherever you are. Does that make sense?
So you think about, I'm going to go back to the 70s, 80s type thing. Like this is the time period in which we can do sort of, as a culture, we can individually, you know, market and purchase and customize things that automation got to the point where we could, you know, we had the capacity to do that. And so what it allowed each of us to do is to create our personal God or our personal Jesus. And I think as Tom, I don't remember if it was in the kind of the warm up before we actually started recording, but you said something about, and Jesus ends up looking a whole lot like you. And so what the personal relationship with Jesus taken too far, you end up creating a Jesus in your own image.
Right. Which is not good, yeah. Right? So it needs to be more communal. Mm-hmm. Is that the idea?
But, you know, the pendulum always swings back and forth.
Right.
So right now individualism is swung to the extreme, and right. What we need is a pullback. But also the truth is, historically, that Christianity, one of its gifts to the world was individualism, individual rights, the value of each person. And that was at a time when communal so outweighed the individual that life wasn't worth as much.
Mm.
And human, you know, Christianity came along with Judaism and said, that Christianity in the West, in what we call the European Western world, said every person matters, every life matters. That was not a political statement. And so funny how we just get trapped on these podcasts.
But, right.
So, but now we've probably gone to the other end of the extreme where we're just saying, and we're off the whole personal relationship with Jesus, but the, I guess that's the...
Well, but I think it's tied. There's, oh gosh, he wrote Bowling Alone. Come on, Putnam.
Yeah.
Robert Putnam writes this book on how isolated we are as individuals in our culture today in America. And so no wonder we've created individual Jesus.
Right.
Because we have isolated ourselves from our communities, from our neighborhoods, many times from our families. Many years ago, you kind of stayed in the town that you grew up in. You know, the idea of moving off just, you know, rarely happened. And so in this sort of isolated world in which we have a poverty of relationships, of real relationships, I can understand why the personal relationship with Jesus becomes attractive, because I don't have a personal relationship with much else. Mm. You know, I drive home from work, I open my garage, I pull in, I close it, I go inside. Right. I turn on my television. I have a relationship with my TV shows.
Right.
And so we have an impoverishment of relationships.
That's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're kind of smart. A science Mike McHargue, whatever his name is. His story, you know who he is?
Yeah.
Okay. His story is that he had no friends in grade school, and he would go sit under a tree with his lunch and talk to Jesus the entire recess. And I thought about that, and I thought about that in a good way of like, all I have is Jesus, right? Because right now I don't have anything outside of that. And thinking about the small town thing and growing up in a small town, sometimes you get so close to people and everybody knows everybody's business, and you don't want to be in anybody's business, and so you go the other way. Yeah. And in that time, I think that's kind of what you like, you know, I pull in, my garage door goes down, I go back, and it's my TV and me.
Right.
But you sit around, and I worry about that too, because times of extreme loneliness for me in my life, and times of I'm trying to think of a better word, but just being by myself, boy, you turn internal. You just turn on yourself. And if you are looking inside and trying to go spiritual and things like that, it just doesn't seem to come out good for me when I do that.
And it's not to say that sort of solitude or contemplation are bad things, bad spiritual practices. I guess I have to kind of talk about like in biblical, like in this, maybe we can go to the Bible. You think about the times in which Jesus healed people, and many times it was the folks who were in need of healing were separated from the community.
Right.
And what Jesus' healing allowed them to do was be a part of the community again. So it seems that at least one sense of scripture is that the purpose of the relationship with Jesus is it allows us to be a part of the whole and not separated.
So who did have a personal relationship with Jesus?
That was great, man. I love that. Can I use that? Separated people, woman. What? Oh, sorry. What, Tom? What were you saying?
Well, I was just thinking about, like, Peter, James, and John.
Right.
The sons of Thunder.
The reason why they were apostles is that they did have a personal relationship with Jesus. That was the requirement. They've been with us from the beginning. Paul was so weird because he didn't have that. And James, Jesus' brother, who is...
He probably had a personal relationship with Jesus.
I think so. Very
Jesus is always showing off. He's got all those other plaques on the wall. He always gets to talk.
He kind of isn't mentioned. He wasn't with the disciples during the ministry of Jesus, apparently. He's mentioned later. He's a pillar of the church. Paul talks about him as if he's an apostle. So the personal relationship he had kind of trumped Not a political statement. The Trump, the other concern. Anyway, so what? What's the lesson for us Episcopalians? Like, could we benefit from more language like this? Mm. Are we smart for being away from it? That's what I wonder.
Wow, I feel like I'm going to wrap it up by saying anything here. We're not wrapping it up, by the way. But I would say that from the community, I would be more... I would receive more, let's say, teaching, example, and stuff like that to go out on my own and experience Jesus within the world or by myself. Only through those I'm gathered around, two or three, am I experiencing how Jesus works in lives, my life, other lives, and how it should work in the world. Sorry, I don't mean to use work, but you know what I mean. And so... through the community, I am a walking example of that. If I didn't have this community now, there's no way I'd be where I am now, so to speak. Not even talking about, you know, jobs, titles, anything else, just as a person of faith.
Well, and you look at like the early desert fathers and mothers who many times would live in solitude.
Right.
But they were still connected to a community.
Right.
And part of the way they lived out their community identity was in solitude. And right. that was sort of their role or their, you know, they had been given this sort of spiritual gift to be able to do that, to contemplate the deepness of God, reflect upon the scriptures, and then bring their wisdom back to the community. So it's not that they were apart from the community, even though they were largely in solitude.
Right.
They were deeply entwined.
They lived 30 miles... 3 miles, 30 miles. This is N.T. Wright, right? Is it? Or is it Barbara Brown Taylor? I don't know. But anyway, talks about this. And they lived 30 miles apart. But once a year, they walk together and have community. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh my gosh. It's a great story about the robbers who come into one of the Desert Fathers' caves. And he's like, take what you want, you know, and they steal everything. And then he's chasing after them going, wait, you forgot this. That's in Simply Christian or one of those N.T. Wright books. Mm. Oh, well, and maybe I'm the guy who read that book and, you know, and stuff like that. Sorry, didn't mean to get off course here.
It's been a while, okay.
But I'm curious. You asked the question, you know, I mean, which was, you know, that you had certain disciples that clearly had a deeper, closer relationship with Jesus. That as in the book of Acts, as they're trying to determine who the replacement apostle is going to be, you know, one of the questions was, well, who knew Jesus? But it seems like the question was, what was their proximity to, you know, to Jesus, as opposed to the question of, did they have a personal relationship with Jesus, which seems to be more of a theological kind of question. Does that make...
And knowing, the term knowing is not as we understand, like, I know
right. Math.
I know how to write SQL code. I know it is intimate yeah. And something beyond just, hey, that's Tom, you're Everett. Hey, nice to meet you. It is very intimate. So, but I don't know any further than that. I don't know if that goes into a personal level. It's like, you know, Jesus, he really loved his locust and honey, you know, or something. Oh, that's the other guy. But anyway, you know what I mean? His personal likes.
Yeah.
Was there a question there?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying like the
I wasn't sure what I was supposed to say. Oh, he pointed at me.
Well, I mean, just this idea that what made Peter, James, John, you know, as qualified to be apostles was not that they had a personal relationship with Jesus, but that they knew, like they had been around Jesus, they knew his teachings, they had ministered with him for 3 years. That seemed to be the qualification, not some sort of theological statement of, you know, I have a personal relationship with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Am I wrong?
Alexander Shia
okay.
says, he wrote Heart and Mind of something. But he says that Paul was the better vehicle for discipleship or carrying Jesus' name because he didn't personally know Jesus. And they said within, and he said, with any organization, those who are closest to the founder and the vision guy or the idea guy are so close that they can't actually relay the information in a way that it can be received properly because they know what the guy eats. They know when he's frustrated. They can look and see when his, you know, he cocks the eyebrow weird. It's like, oh gosh, I didn't please Jesus again. You know, it's that kind of father mother thing where Paul was detached and only received what was as the message or what was given directly from
the Spirit. Well, but I mean, but Paul, so, I mean, also had radical conversion,
right?
I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, if you're you know out there and you're persecuting Christians and you get knocked off on your ass and you hear, you experience God, I mean, that's a huge testimony that he was able to rely upon. You know, you read it in his letters where he's relying on this personal encounter.
Can we say ass on this podcast?
Ass?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Did you say ass?
Everett
okay.
did.
Okay. I don't know if we have to put the E up now, so...
You're not going to bleep that out later?
I don't know.
That'd be funny if you did that.
I know! It's like the donkey.
Oh, yeah, right. The bell. You know, yes.
Sorry, Everett. I do think, Everett, that you're right, that what the apostle qualification and personal relationship with Jesus as we understand that is not equivalent. It was something different. But how do we define that? I'm not sure.
There was a movement, let's say, of some guy who would come on, excuse me, and he would rap about how church is, you know, I don't know, just turn back. You guys have seen it. He's standing in front of like the Alamo,
yeah,
or like something. Actually, and rap.
It's poetry, I guess, not rap, but yeah, no beatbox. We got to tear that down sometime. But anyway, moving on before I start beatboxing, and it was all about how what I don't remember, but I remember the idea was anti-church or something to that effect. What?
It's funny to me. You go, what? I don't remember.
Well, I'm trying to pull the idea out of you guys.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know? Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. It was this popular video about, you know, sort of how we don't have to, we can have this relationship with God and with Jesus, and it's about having this like really personal relationship, and there's a sense in which, I mean, I would never want to say to somebody like no, you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Right.
But but the way that it's theologically has been used, the natural consequence of it is sort of an isolated Jesus that looks like me, talks like me, thinks like me, as opposed to the Jesus in Scripture who constantly pushes us back into community and back into relationship with others. The personal relationship with Jesus gives me the freedom. Well, I can go and play golf on Sundays because I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't need church. Or
that's a great little.
You're gone from preaching to meddling.
I know,
right?
But that's sort of the cultural benefit of the personal relationship. I don't have to. I don't need you all.
Right. Right. Gosh, there is so much more to talk about. We're almost out of time. So, so you brought this up earlier. This is something I have to get to because I heard this, and now I'll probably drill you guys with this every podcast. How does this theology work in the Congo? I think you said something, you either said Congo or something different the other day, because I heard on another podcast that said if your theology doesn't work in third world or other countries, then what good is it? So, any thoughts on that at all?
Which theology? The personal relationship with Jesus?
the idea of the podcast here.
Well, I didn't know if you meant like how we're, what do we think a better way of thinking about it is, or the way it's commonly thought of?
The personal relationship part. Okay. How does that, if
I don't want to speak as an expert, but I think that most of the world outside of sort of Western European is highly communal. Western European countries and, you know, America's kind of being derived from that, it tends to be highly individual. And part of that is some of the things that Tom alluded to earlier. But I think it would be somewhat odd in many, many parts of the world to talk about a personal relationship apart from the community.
You're right.
That'd be my answer.
Thoughts?
Yeah. I think there they might talk more about a saving relationship. I've only been to Africa one time, but they...
It's 100% more times than I've been there.
My experience is just that I remember being in a tent. I was there as a youth minister during some campaign, and they wanted me to work with the kids. And these were not the kind of kids I had worked with in the States. And I remember being in a tent with about 200 kids, and the leader said, half of these children are HIV positive.
Wow.
And when we worshiped with the kids, like back in the States, I'm singing VBS songs, you know, silly. And they were singing these songs like, I asked for the translation one time, and he said, it's this holy, 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 you are holy, over and over again. And these little kids, like 7-year-old kids, are crying as they're singing it. And so they're dealing with problems as children that we don't deal with ever here. So they need saving, and not in the way that we talk about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not... Here we need a buddy because we're lonely, you know. They need someone to pull them out of the fire. So,
Man, I would love to go further into that. I'm going to keep that for another time, though, because that's a good point. It's like, what do we need saving from, and what does, as you said,
narcissism?
Well, there you go. That's interesting.
And that's the way in which the personal relationship feeds our narcissism. In a way that's not helpful.
Right.
You know, I think one of the gifts of the Anglican tradition is sort of a balance between a strong incarnational view of God, that God is among us, but also realizing that God has, like Hauerwas would say, that is mediated through things, right? So we don't, you know, we recognize that we encounter God in bread and wine, and we encounter God in wine water. We encounter God in community, in Scripture. That God is constantly mediated through tangible things.
And we could go a step further and say we encounter God in bread, wine, and water only in community,
right?
Or because of community, if you're sick or something,
right?
Sorry for interrupting you.
No,
that's a good one.
That's good.
All right, final thoughts? I think that kind of was it, right?
Wow.
Huh? More? Yeah?
Unique New York.
New York.
Oh, you did that at the beginning, right? Sorry.
Right. Okay, we've added a new section to the podcast. I don't know what it is. But anyway, what are you reading? So we thought we'd go around the room as everyone scampers go, oh, God, what am I reading? The Bible. And so let's go around the room. Everett, are you ready to share what you're reading? No, Tom. What are you reading, buddy?
I'm reading a book about Franklin Roosevelt. It's called The Man He Became. And it's about polio, the way people looked at polio during the 20s and 30s, and how Roosevelt... The author's name is James Tobin, but how people said that polio was... Today we talk about Roosevelt and we say that he hid his sickness. But the truth is, it seems, that his sickness is what got him elected. Because without the sickness, he's a rich New Yorker who's detached from the people. And because he can't stand up, because they see that he has to have a son to balance him, they see that when he walks on his braces, he's limping everywhere or whatever, that they say, look at all this rich guy has overcome. He's like us. So it's just, it's a really cool book.
Interesting. Everett? I have been reading, on Tom's recommendation, American Lion, about Andrew Jackson. And what? Yeah, and it's a fascinating book about Jackson, who's a fairly controversial president because of his treatment of Indians. But he was a really kind of complex character, somebody who I don't know, he's fascinating to read about. So Tom said this is a great book, you ought to read it, and so I have been reading about Andrew Jackson.
It makes the last election, his election with between him and John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
It's like tame, and this last election is pretty tame by comparison.
Really?
Oh yeah, they accused Jackson of being a bigamist because his wife wasn't fully divorced from her first husband who abused her.
Drama.
You know,
his wife actually died from stress from the election.
Yeah.
Before he took office.
Yeah. Andrew Jackson.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Gosh. Wow. So I'm reading, or I just finished reading, Jesus for President from Shane Claiborne, which...
political season.
Right? Which took me... It's deep. You read one section and you set it down, and it's taken me months to really get through it. And the ending and the beginning were really fast, but the middle got into so much depth of Roman society and things going on that it's just like I couldn't devour it quick enough, or I had to sit with it. But excellent book. Amazing, amazing book. I learned so much from that about Roman society and Caesars and how the passion, if you want to call it, that is mimicked after the election process or the crowning of a Caesar, something like that, the royal I don't know what you call it, but whenever they bring someone in, I thought it was amazing. But now I'm reading, you know what, I'll save that for next time.
All right. Gosh, that means we got to finish our books and be reading another one by next
week.
Now
we got to get a new book to read.
All right. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thanks for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at FunDrainPod. We'd love to hear your comments on our episodes and also suggest future episode topics. Also, if you enjoy what we're doing, go on to iTunes and give us a review, please. Thanks a lot.